As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hello, I'm Adam Hurry, and what you're about to hear is pure cliches. A few minutes that we think perfectly encapsulate the essence of our podcast. So whether you've been on the cliches bandwagon for the entire 3 years, or look at us and think, what more could there possibly be to say on a football podcast in 2023, for God's sake? We hope you enjoy our wholehearted attempt at defining exactly what makes a stadium into a cauldron, and our suggestions to the makers of FIFA for some more mundane situations to add to their animation library. Messing with your mind even further, Oscar asks another hugely important question, Vish. He says, what qualities give a stadium cauldron status?
So I thought about this, and I think it's the structure of the stadium itself. So, for example, maybe the structure and also the style of play. So I think the Emirates, with any other team, could be a cauldron.
Okay.
But I really think it's more on the style of play than the, you know, you obviously want that bowl shape, but you don't necessarily want a team that's always winning. I think you want a bit of mongrel in that particular stadium, don't you?
Okay. I accept. I mean, you have to be on board with the shape factor. You have to have a cauldron-shaped stadium for it to be a cauldron. But can cauldrons, Charlie, have been built in 2006? I can't have a 15-year-old cauldron.
Right, okay, so they need to have a bit more history and resonance to them.
I think so.
I mean, there's just such a bias about it, isn't there? It's like Eastern European state for like hostility and intimidation and all of this sort of thing.
Yeah. It's a type of noise as well. It's not even how vicious it is. It's like just this wall of...
It's kind of visceral.
Constant noise.
Yeah,
you just don't get at UK grounds because it's always like whimsical chanting.
So I don't know as well, like, if it's... The fact that you're in somewhere different and it feels a bit, and that feels like slightly more unsettling. I don't know how many cauldrons I'd really think of in this country.
Of course, in cauldrons, we were talking about receptions earlier, Vish. Now, I'm slightly confused here. Like, when you see a player who used to play for the club, and they would get, what kind of reception? They get like an icy reception? You can get an icy reception.
Hostile?
Well, you can't
the scale
get, you can't
goes
get
like
an
this.
Icy.
You get icy. Then maybe you might get a lukewarm reception. And then the scale goes all the way up to red hot and then white hot. So there's nothing in between.
It could get a warm reception.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You got a warm reception.
That's all the middle, isn't it? Okay, so
yeah,
icy,
exactly.
Lukewarm, warm, red hot, white hot. That's
I feel
all
like
the
icy,
receptions you can get.
Isn't an icy reception, though, just being, I suppose, being given the cold shoulder, like ignored?
Yeah, yeah. So they ignore you a bit.
Yeah, is
maybe
that worse?
A bit of a boo.
Is that worse if you're a player who played for, you know, the opposition or you know, a rival, and you're like, God, they don't even remember me.
Yeah, you might want a bit of record. Like, guys, yeah. I was here for a bit.
Walking into slow motion before the game, and you wave at whoever the staff member is behind the camera, and they don't wave back. That would be an icy reception when Sky Sports, in their little montage, notice that you get ignored as you come in. Charlie, Sam says, a cauldron is any stadium where a fan can hold a lit flare without looking like a bit of a div. So, yeah, pyro very much...
But again, I think of that more as a continental thing.
Yeah, definitely. You need a few flares to make it a red-hot reception. Alex Hamonotero, Vish, says, cauldrons need seated corners and a seating gradient of over 45 degrees. Wow.
So that tallies with my thoughts that the if you looked up Cauldron in a football dictionary, you'll have a picture of the Bombonera, wouldn't you?
Yeah, steep.
I mean, that is Cauldron to me, because it's got everything, because it's got the flares, it's got steepness, standing, but also the threat of something being thrown onto the pitch that isn't a traditional coin or cut.
Fans right on top of you. Pig's head. How many tiers, Charlie, do you think we need? Minimum.
Three.
Yeah. So I think Nou Camp could be a Cauldron in theory, but
it could. I don't think it is, but it could be.
Yeah, but the little mini stadium next to it, not a Cauldron, despite being essentially the same shape.
The Bernabeu or that little training ground where they played against Chelsea in the Champions League, not a Cauldron behind closed doors.
A club and stadium close to your heart, Charlie. The Hurricanes, the animated team of the 1990s, played at the Hispaniola, which is a huge boot-shaped stadium. Is that a Cauldron?
Well, that was terrifying for any number of reasons. But yes, that could qualify as a Cauldron, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The final word on this goes to Tom Victor. He says it's only a Cauldron if it comes from the Vicente Calderon region of Spain. Otherwise, it's just sparkling intimidation. Very good. Very good indeed. That's top quality. And a lovely way to end that debate. But yeah, Cauldrons are almost self-explanatory. It's not up to us to describe them. I think you know a Cauldron when you see one.
Brought to your ears by The Athletic. This is Football Clichés.
James, news from the world of computer games. This is actually the only aspect of FIFA 22 I'm actually quite interested in, which is the non-gameplay action. They've introduced what are known as cinematics and new scenes for the latest game. These include team-specific warm-up sequences, dressing room moments, teams inspecting the pitch, which is, I guess, like wandering around before a FA Cup final, and the groundskeeper making last-minute preparation. In some ways, I'm quite impressed about how mundane they've gone here. This isn't spectacular stuff, but the groundkeeper sort of sticking his fork in the pitch, really adding to the reality of the game.
Ultra-realism, isn't it? I think that's quite nice. Yeah, that's the kind of thing you like. I think you want, to be able to simulate the conversations. You know, the small talk that players have at the end of a game with, opponents. And I guess if you're not bashing the triangle button to hold your hand over your mouth, you're going to get in trouble with the FA for some, misspeak or whatever.
You want to control. You actually want to be in charge of these elements as opposed to just watching them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, international track and field vibe, just hammering the triangle button to make sure you don't get, an FA charge.
That would be great. Look, mini games. So you can get to be the groundskeeper. You have to, move them around the pitch and pick the right bit to put the fork in, turn the sprinklers on at the right time.
Would play. Yeah, would play. And then in the end, you get your move to Real Madrid from Bournemouth or something like that and get an Athletic long read written about you.
I do like the idea of one of the groundskeepers in the Premier League being getting the call up from EA Sports to come in and do the motion capture with his fork.
It's just, you need to get the forking technique right, because if anyone who knows anything about groundskeeping is playing the game, they're not going to be fooled.
Absolutely.
Elsewhere, Dave, in the game, they've introduced a nice little touch, which is if your team is underperforming in an important match, you may even see the crowd leaving early. That's kind of cool. That is
good.
Fairly easy to produce, I imagine.
This is a real test of the people who make these games at EA Sports and how prepared they are to really put their money where their mouth is here. Okay, so you say you're going to be, realistic with these cinematic scenes and in-game sequences and stuff. Are you, if you're getting the fans walking out, then are the other end of the ground going to sing the "We can see you sneaking out"? Yeah. Go the whole hog. And it's all too often they just sort of don't quite get it right, really, in those sort of things. And people like us who actually like football as more than we like computer games get annoyed by this stuff. But obviously, most people that play FIFA just love playing the game and don't give a toss about the pitch markings or the stadium scenes. But why can't they go even further? If you select a Saturday lunchtime kickoff, it needs to be a sleepy atmosphere.
Yeah. Also, could you get a sort of accident on the ring road and people are getting there late?
Delayed kickoff. You have to wait 15 minutes and you can't
you
skip.
it's not the pitch, it's the areas around the stadium that the snow is affecting. Anyway, we asked our listeners for some suggestions of more mundane situations in football that need to be accounted for in these sorts of games. Dave, first one, this was from me, actually. I think they, I don't know if they've got this already, but they need...
You're allowed to do that?
Yes. I listen, technically. I'd like to see the attacking substitute not really paying attention to the laminated set-piece folder before they come on in the 67th minute. That would be good. Feels like a fairly easy one to animate. Maybe the shine of the laminated folder is hard to recreate. Don't know how many pixels.
No, I think the PS5 should be able to handle a bit of lamination.
James, A-Patch 27, quite like this one. Players putting their tracksuit tops in a bin bag held by the hurried kit man before they start. That would be part of the kind of warm-up routine, I'd hope.
Has that ever happened?
Yeah, a bin bag?
Yeah, they're sort of throwing all their bibs and stuff so the guys have got to hold it on. Maybe the bin bag was inaccurate, so A-Patch 27, do more research into your pre-match kit man routine. But James, you're not on board with that one.
Yeah, what you mean, like the kind of stadium jackets, the anthem jacket things they'll wear when they come up and line out, and then, I think that works. Yeah, if you actually want to see them take them off though.
It's a good point, actually. I mean, I've never watched what they do with those jackets.
They never show us, do they? They want us to know, do they, the Premier League?
Actually, and what happens to the Bitcoin or whatever, or the lanyards that they shop? Well, not lanyards.
Always
sorry.
Wondered. Where do they go? To, like the penance.
Penance.
Stuff.
Thank you. Yeah. Who takes them?
I don't know. Auctioned off.
But I mean, physically, after they've exchanged them at the start of the game, where do they go after that? Are they like down the back of like the captain's shorts or whatever for the whole? I mean, I don't know where do they go.
Don't know.
Just a man will come on and take them.
A man that comes on and takes them. Anyway, the suggestions do get better from here, I promise. Dave, Connor Garrett says FIFA 22 simply requires cinematics of fans heading to the toilets or for refreshments during injury time of the first half, something interesting happening on the pitch while they're en route, and them having to awkwardly find a temporary perch as to not miss it.
Yep, I'm on board with that. I think an extension could be any game played at Wembley Stadium, a zoomed out camera angle with the club Wembley seats filtering back in the first 15 minutes. Good. The second half,
as with many things like this, we talked about this with films before, I feel like there's an opening here for a consultancy role. So I can think of a thousand tiny things that you can add to this game really add
but crucially it's basically an exercise in making the game bigger, more boring, less appealing to the people that actually play it.
Good.
And more appealing to the very small handful of people like us who want to play like this.
Next up, James, Josh Dohler says FIFA 22 cinematics need to include the disgusting things players do, like spit or clear snot from their nose.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is true. That is good.
You know, it's an unwelcome reality, but it is indeed a reality. Yeah, the
glisten on it. Yeah, on a, like a PS5, you can imagine that looking pretty good. Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, maybe this is more of a Football Manager thing than FIFA, because obviously you're in control of the players in FIFA all the time. But like, could you like insert some? Like one in a half a million event, like where you get like an El Hadj Diouf moment and he spits on the player and he gets sent off. Like just really random things that only come up once for a handful of people who will ever get them. But that happened. That's football. Sometimes mad stuff happens. A balloon, like a Sunderland beach ball moment.
Yeah. I mean, I do worry that there's an overarching things you don't like to see in football mentality there. They don't want to lose their licenses and things like that.
No.
They don't want to sully their relationship with the governing bodies. But yeah, spitting on a pitch, it's a reality. Let's have it. Maybe not at players, though. It's the worst thing you can do to a fellow professional, digital or otherwise. James, next up, Adi Dassler, WSAG, says close-ups of supporters before kickoff who notice too late that they're on the big screen and start waving just as the camera moves off them. If this happens, FIFA will have reached peak reel. Again, perfectly easy to engineer, surely.
Yeah, the slightly better version of that is like the dejected fan at the end of a game when their team is like losing 2-0 in injury time, like head in hands. Then suddenly they see they're on the screen and immediately like they're delighted. Doesn't matter that the team has lost this cup final. They're on a big screen in a stadium. So now they're like waving like an absolute idiot.
Such a fleeting moment. There's nothing you're ever going to remember for that as well.
Yeah, I don't really see seeing yourself on a big screen in this day and age. People see themselves on screens all the time now.
But
I can see myself
instinct,
on the screen right now.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's instinct. You don't know how you're going to react till it happens.
Because some of these they're absolutely spot on. Obviously, they're all things that happen in football and would add another layer of depth to FIFA. But like the previous example there, the crowd, it's like, it would have to be a cutaway. You'd have to take away from the match action. And I don't know if you're like me, but if you play it, I often just skip those things straight away anyway. I imagine 90% of people do. But one thing that could be good that would be part, you'd see it as the game was going on, like we said, like the fans leaving, could we have the stewards, like if it's a high profile derby game or end of season in career mode and you're expecting like a pitch invasion, the stewards marching out on the 80th minute just to surround the pitch.
Definitely.
And getting their position.
That feels like something they could have incorporated into sort of games in the early 90s, you know, like the top down ones where you can see the stewards kind of filling out around the sides. That could have easily done. Sensible Soccer would have done that. They would have been clever enough, wry enough to include those. I'm going to end on these two even more mundane notes. First of all, Ben St. Jenks, James, says FIFA 22 needs to include the bored-looking members of St. John's Ambulance sat just off the edge of the dugout, plastic cups of tea in hand. Now, again, lovely touch, nice and mundane, needs to be included. Whenever I see them on the screen during a broadcast, all I think about is, do they support one of the teams? And because most of the time you see them, it's in a replay of a goal going in and the bench celebrating, and you see them right in the corner. You think, are they going to react? Are they allowed to react? Is it unprofessional to celebrate a goal if you're from the St. John's Ambulance crew?
I'm assuming it's the same sort of principle as being a steward or whatever, right? I mean, presumably stewards are just as likely to support the team, the local team, given they presumably live locally. And they don't celebrate, do they? I don't think I've ever seen a steward celebrate a goal, but surely a lot of them must celebrate the club where they're working.
Well, the stewards are technically not allowed to watch the match, are they? They're always watching the crowd sort of happening behind them.
Yeah. You see the odd one, though.
But the best way to see that, or a good way for it to be highlighted, because I think obviously normal situation, especially in this country, is that, you know, there's not a lot of space between the goals and the stands. So they kind of get lost in the limbs, as it were. But when you see a game, like if it's a Champions League or it's abroad, and there's a huge running track behind the goal, and there's sort of loads of different people just in that area, stewards, photographers,
undefined personnel,
a lot of them, often you see them celebrating.
Like if you look at like the Gaza goal from Euro 96, and I know, you know, this has been a thing that's been talked about a lot over the last few months, and forgive me if you're Scottish,
fine,
but if you watch that, there's like 50-60 people behind the goal.
Who are they?
No idea who they are.
Maybe sort of halftime entertainment people. They were going to unfurl something at halftime, in which case that role presumably doesn't require a great deal of impartiality, so you're probably allowed to celebrate.
Military band members, probably.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. I want to end on this last one, possibly the most evocative of all in a low-key kind of way, Dave. Nifty Palms says, footage of two people standing next to each other at half-time, not talking. One with a coffee stroke tea, the other with a sausage roll doing a semi-half-assed dance to the music on at half-time, preferably Republica Ready to Go. Sensational detail there. It's very kind of... studio still talking about what Team X needs to do in the second half.
Yeah.
And it's just panning around. Yes.
It's great. It's great. You know, just keeping the blood flowing in a cold winter's afternoon.
Yeah. Or someone just doing a little bit of a jig, but not quite.
Just the knees. Just sort of, you know, when you kind of, you know, you stood up and you don't want to sit down, but you also don't want to stand up for 15 minutes in the second half if you're not going to go to the concourse. So you just sort of lean against the seat, sort of perch on the folded up seat. So the knees are just moving.
I have to say, on the pitifully rare occasions that I go to games, James, at half time, if I do find myself, because I can never be bothered to go and get a beer and tea, I'm very much a stay in my seat kind of guy, taking the, you know, the scene. But when I do stand up from my seat in that scenario and I sort of look around, maybe I do indeed do the semi-half-assed jig to the music, I can only think that I'm on camera at that moment.
The
camera operator's got me. So I thought, what would I do? Don't know. So always behave as if you are being watched at half-time on Sky Sports, I think.
In life in general or just at half-time?
Yeah, absolutely. Just go through life as if you are being picked up on camera at half-time on Sky Sports. If you enjoyed that little snippet of Football Clichés, make sure to check out our extensive back catalogue of almost 250 episodes of the most niche and obscure football content that still makes perfect sense.
The Athletic.